As we come this morning, I've been expecting the train whistle to go by me. The first Sunday I was at Gethsemane Baptist Church, the trial sermon that I did. Just about the time I get ready to speak, the train came by, and we've got two entrances that they have to blow the whistle at. So they blew the first one, and I said, okay, I can get through that one. And I started to speak again, and about the time I spoke, it blew again. So I've been waiting to hear if there's going to be some whistle back there that's going to blow. I know there's the fire department back there too. So if it does, then we'll get through that. But it is great to be here. The music, the praise team, the choir, just beautiful. Thank you for the social last night. Great time with ice cream. The staff, I met with them, and they have wonderful. And I must also compliment the Pastor Search Committee. They have done a wonderful job talking with me, communicating with me, and putting it to prayer, and then bringing everything together. And we appreciate that very much, and especially for getting us into a hotel, considering it was race weekend. So we're glad that you can be here. As I said before, we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. As we look today, we want to talk about a built up a spiritual house. As Jana shared earlier, as a thing, we talk about the church building, and many of us do have beautiful church buildings. But I'm not looking at talking about the physical building. What I want to talk about this morning will be the building of God. And as we talk about that, we realize that the building of God is actually us. We invite Jesus into our hearts, and when we invite Him into our hearts, we become part of the church. And as we look at this morning, I want us to try to consider the physical building and the spiritual building and how they work hand in hand together. As we look this morning, we see, and I'm going to try to operate this thing. If not, I'm going to ask the people up there to kind of work with me on this. Am I getting anything? They gave me this button, and that's not a good thing. It never works when I try it. They'll get it there in just a minute, I hope. But this morning, I want us to imagine the building as we would, and then to take that and to look and see how, as stone bricks, we are put together and shored up together to be brought up. As we look this morning, there are several things I want us to see. First of all, I want us to see that we are God's building. In verses 4 and 5 of the scripture we read, He says, "As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God, and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." There's a story about the king of Sparta in ancient Greece, said that he was boasting about the giant wall, the strong wall that he had around his city. And as the guests looked around, he kept looking and he kept looking for a wall, and he couldn't see the wall. And so finally he looked at his toast and he says, "I don't see the wall. Where is the wall that you're talking about?" And he looked out, and as he looked out, he pointed to a group of soldiers out there and he says, "There's my wall." The king saw this well-trained group, this mighty army that you've known and heard in history, as being his wall, and they were the same thing. They were his brick. Now, with the hurricane, the first thing they tell you to do is to get inside and find the most safest spot in your house to do so that it can withstand everything else. This is the same thing. This king felt very comfortable that his army would hold. China built a wall to hold people out so that they could not come in. He used this. And that we see this morning that God has said, we are the living stones being built into a spiritual house. We have become part of Him. We also see in Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. We see in this that not only are we His people, but we need a unity of the building. The building has to have certain mixtures. When I worked construction, we had to have a context of concrete, and it had to be mixed just right. And if you didn't mix it just right, it wouldn't harden. And then it would be tested by certain people to make sure that that consistency was there and that it would hold. We built foundations, we built walls. Brick masons also had to do the same thing. And so we see that the building has got to work together with one another. The day that the churches cannot get along with each other is the day that our building is being torn apart. As the hurricane takes shingles off of a roof, siding, or whatever, when we see that we are not in unity together, we see that what is happening is the devil, which is the wind of the hurricane, is just ripping parts of us apart, and pieces begin to miss. This winter, I understand y'all had some really strong storms that had done some damage to the building, and you're in the process of taking care of it. But you've got to make it come back together. And we want to look, how can we make it stand together once again? The church is the same way. How do we bring the people together so that we can work together hand in hand? As I said last night, there are differences of opinion in everything. Some people like blue, some like green, and I'm not going to leave some colors out that somebody's going to come back. So why didn't you use that color? Some people like different types of cars, trucks, other things, but we all work together and can come together to worship. We have children here, we have young adults here, we have adults, we have senior adults, all coming together to work in unity. And so the building must become the unity, and we must have a unity together to work together. As we look around this physical building, we see that at one point there was a stack of lumber over here, and there was carpet over here that was bought out of a warehouse, and it was all brought together from all over the places to be put together to see what you have now. We also see that some of us grew up here. Some were born in this church. Some have passed on that started this church and left a legacy for this church. We have younger ones that are coming up that are soon going to be taking the place of some of the others. And so we see that this church is continually being built up, and the unity has to come together. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, Paul says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near to the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier," the dividing wall of hostility. Jesus Christ takes every part, every stone, every thing that He can pick up to use to build His church with, and He takes and He knocks the rough edges off of us. I grew up in a church. When I went into high school, I didn't need a whole lot because I'd learned a lot. When I went into the Navy, I had only the Navy to depend upon. God has since then taken and knocked some of them rough edges off. My father-in-law is a woodshop teacher, and the one thing that he tries to teach his kids was when you work with wood and when you get ready for the finished product, if you really want it to look great, it's not how good you stain it, it's not how good you varnish it, but it's how well you sand it. If you don't sand it, you'll see all the marks. If you sand it with the right sandpaper, it becomes smooth and a beautiful piece of wood. And the stain and the varnish will make it even look better. And that is what God is doing with us. He is sanding those rough edges off of us. He is working with us so that we can fit right together with the next stone laying together and coming together. So we are built up and we are coming together as a unity in one. We also see that we need a blueprint. As we look at that, we see that the blueprint is something that we have to use as a guide. I remember when I was in construction, we had blueprints. They would be about this thick. And we would begin to build and work, and then all of a sudden there'd be revisions of it. Sometimes we would get the revisions And sometimes we wouldn't get the revisions. And when we didn't get those revisions and we worked, we would find out we would have to tear things back because it wasn't the specifications that were put into blueprints. And the church also needs a blueprint. We have a blueprint, don't we? God has given it right here. And this blueprint has been revised to the best that it can be revised to. It is settled. It is it. And so when we read God's words, we see that we have the blueprint. We see in the Old Testament the example of this. When the tabernacle was built in Exodus, we see that God gave the Jews details. You will build it this long, this wide, this tall. You will put this in it. You will make this a certain way. And when it all came together, it didn't need nails, glue, or anything else. It all worked in place, hand in hand. And so we see that the place of worship for God was built with specific instructions. And today, the New Testament, that is what we're looking at too. We are still building God's church. We are still building God's work. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of," or in another translation, "by the authority of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." And then Peter continues to say, "If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength of God who provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever." Everything we teach, everything we believe must be founded on what God has said. And the only way we can do that is through His Word. Next, we see God building is never completed. When this church was built, you had a target date of when it was going to be built, how long it was going to take, and you anticipated that day that you could come in and sit down and worship God. My parents are going through that now. They have just completed a multi-million-dollar building. They have been working on it for several years now, and the day has finally come when they finally get to go into their permanent house of worship. It is completed. It is completed. If any of you are interested in guns, Sir Winston, the story of the heir to the Winchester rifles, inherited $20 million, and then she had an additional income of $1,000 a day in the 1800s. That's a lot of money in them days. Sarah moved to California. She bought an 8-room farmhouse plus 160 adjoining acres. She hired 16 carpenters and put them to work. And for the next 38 years, a crew worked around the clock, 24 hours a day, building that mansion. When she died, the house covered 6 acres. It had 6 kitchens, 13 bathrooms, 40 stairways, 47 fireplaces, 52 skylights, 467 doors, 10,000 windows, 160 rooms, and a bell tower. The house was never completed. And when I think of God's building this morning, I think that God's building is never completed. It has never been completed. It is still in the process. Every day that someone accepts Christ becomes another brick that is being used to be built. And as long as we're on this earth, God's building will never be finished. That day will come when Jesus comes home. He looked at His disciples and He says, "I go to prepare a place for you." Places are being done here. But Jesus is going to prepare another place. And when we are taken to that place, building will be completed. He has completed. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. But as we do, we need to continue to work on. Paul says in Ephesians 2:20, "Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone." And then Paul says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care. Think back, if you can, when you were younger, and those that are already younger. Who is it that is influencing your life in church right now? Is it a Sunday school teacher? Is it the pastor? Is it a deacon? Is it somebody in the choir? Is it a spiritual giant in your church that you can know, that you can always come to, that you can always talk with and share with, and know that they are their spiritual giant that's always there? I think back to my Sunday school teacher, John Price. John Price was one that I could always go to, talk with. Not only did he teach me in Sunday school, he taught me how to pray, he taught me the books of the Bible, he taught me memory verses, but he also worked with the RAs, and we played baseball and went camping and did things like that. John has gone on to be with our Lord. One day I'm going to get to be able to be with him. And I used to think I could tell him all the things that I was doing for God now, but you know what? He already knows. He already knows what I'm doing. And that is what Paul is saying. Some of us are going to plant. Some are going to water. You've had pastors in the past that have come, that have done. And sometimes I know when I was growing up, our pastor left. And I thought, who in the world is they going to replace him with? How in the world? This was the greatest man. I loved our pastor. And he was the greatest man on earth. Who is going to take his place? And when the committee brought the prospective pastor in, he started on the level that my pastor left at, and he built upon what he had built. And I saw that church grow from a little white building into a nice brick building to where it's now relocated and built on 40 acres of land and reaching several thousand people in that area. Each pastor has built upon the other. Each Sunday school teacher will build upon the other one. And so we see that we need that. We see that in this poem it says, a bridge builder by Alan Drumgoogle said these words. An old man traveling a long highway came at the evening cold and gray to a chasm fast, deep and wide, though which was flowing a solemn tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The sullen stream held no fears for him. But he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, cried a fellow pilgrim near, you're wasting your time in building here. Your journey will end with the closing day. You will never again will pass this way. You have crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you this bridge at evening tide? The builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend, in the path I have come, he said, there falleth after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. This stream which has been as naught to me, to that fair-haired youth may pitiful be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building this bridge for him. Many of you this morning have built bridges. Many of you are building bridges, and some of you, the children this morning, will in the future continue to build bridges for us. And so therefore, we must follow God. And then lastly, Christ is the cornerstone. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. Paul and Peter quote Isaiah 28:16 and Psalms 118:22, and they point out that the cornerstone was the one that people rejected. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Jews all rejected Jesus Christ, and they threw him away and got rid of him. He was not what they were looking for. He was not their Messiah because he did not set his kingdom on earth. And they threw him away. And God took him and says, this is the cornerstone. This is the foundation of Christianity. and that it has been built. Back in the days of the Old West was being settled, there was a lot of pioneers who were on their way to, on the Oregon Trail, and as they passed through the Rocky Mountains, they found a stream that was too wide to cross. So they did what they called the two-step across it, using an ugly lump sticking out of the water in the middle of the stream. As the years passed, others passed through that, stepped over there, built cabins and strung fences, and one man built his cabin close to that stream, and he had a problem with his door, and it wouldn't shut. So he went out in that stream, and where they were stepping on that stone, that ugly stone, he picked it up, that heavy, ugly stone, and he brought it, and he used it to prop his door open. Years later, railroads came through, and railroads were being built, and more homes. And he had a nephew that had grown up there, and he left there, and he went back to school in the East. And when he came back, he looked, and there was that stone propping that door. One man saw it as a stepping stone. One man saw it as an ugly piece of rock that held his door. His nephew saw what it truly was. It was one of the, if not the largest nugget of gold that was found on the Rockies. Some didn't see it as gold. They saw it as an ugly piece of rock to step on. This man saw it as a doorstop, and his nephew saw it as a gem. As we look this morning, we may think sometimes that we're that ugly rock. We may think that we're that door prop, but God sees each one of us as we truly are, pieces of gold. Gems to Him. We talk about relationships with Jesus, and when we do, we talk about the words in Christ, in Him, by Him, through His blood, by His death, and everything that we see simply does this. Jesus said, I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is our cornerstone this morning. He is the one that sets the foundation for this church and others across this country that believe in Jesus Christ. There's the same danger with church buildings as with churches. If we're not careful, we forget the purpose of what church is all about. We come and we try to claim ownership to it as if it is ours, and it is not. We need to come this morning together in unity to proclaim the praises of Him who has called us. That word proclaim means that we should tell, to show forth, to advertise in today's society. To advertise that we live in a world of darkness, but through this church there is a light that is shining out. The early sailors didn't have the modern technology that we have today. And a lot of times, to keep from being shipwrecked, they depended on the brightness of the light in the lighthouses to let them know that there were shores and rocks there to stay out. That is the same today. We, not this church, although you've got a thing here you can do that with, we are the lighthouse for Jesus today. And we need to shine our lights up. We need to make them bright. And we need to let it shine in this community so that others will know there's hope, there's joy, there's peace, there's happiness. And I think that this world could use a whole lot more happiness than they have right now. And we have it. We have it. God gave it to us through Jesus Christ. What a great God He is. The psalmist said in 127 verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Are we spinning our wheels this morning? Are we seeing that we're not putting a strong structure up? Is it weak? Does it cave in to the storms of life? Then we need to realize the Lord builds the house, not us. We just get to live in it and to be a part of it. This morning, as we close, as we look at this lesson, we see this morning that we too, we are the church. We need to come together and work in unity. We need to work together for the glory of our God, our Heavenly Father. And He should receive all the credit, all the glory, because it was Him working through us. We didn't do a thing without Him. I can't. I don't know about you. But God deserves all of the glory. And so when we say our prayers, when we do the singing, when we do the scriptures reading, when we're living in this community, it should all be done for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we come to the close of this service, our hymn of invitation. Our hymn of commitment will be sung by the praise team, but we give an invitation simply for this. We do an invitation to invite people to make decisions in their lives. I like to assume that if there are people today that have never accepted Jesus Christ, we want to invite you to be a part of the family of God. We want to invite you to come this morning to the front and to pray that sinner's prayer, to understand and to know that Christ can live within your heart. It's an invitation for this morning for you simply to slip out from the pew, come to the front, and just bow here and bring your baggage, those things that are holding you back as being a Christian, to come this morning and lay it here and say, God, I want to leave it here with you this morning. I want to leave here free and empty. It's an invitation for you this morning to slip out and to come and to come down here and say, you know, I've been visiting this church. I know a lot of the people in this church, and they worship God, and I want to do the same thing. I want to join this church and be a part of a great fellowship of God. So we invite you this morning to come for those. If there are other things, we invite you to come too. As we come and stand and pray, you let the Lord lead you. And if He's leading you to make a decision, please respond to it. Let us stand.